It's full of good stuff, don't they? I mean, if people don't, some people don't, and we need to help those people. But most of us want to live fruitful, healthy lives, full of good things. And I think from time to time, it's good to take stock of our lives and make adjustments. That's really the message this morning. Each year, I take my car for an MOT. I know some of you have new cars and you don't know what MOTs are, but I've always had old cars, and every year with an older car, you have to do an MOT. And I don't know what it stands for, but it's like a test, as you probably know. It reveals things that aren't quite right with my cars. And the things that need attention in my cars. And it's a way of keeping them safe and lasting a long time. That's what an MOT is for. And some years I get to the examiners and pick up the car, and there is a long list of things that need to be fixed. And some years it just sails through. And so you might be starting this year with a long list, or you might starting this year saying, do you know what? Things are good for my soul. And that's great. And praise God if that's the case. But I think most years for my cars, there's something that needs a tweak or needs a little adjustment. And really, that's what I feel this morning. I want to encourage us to do, just to reflect on our lives and to say, what is there I need to just make an adjustment for? What is there that I need to do just to help me keep going? Does that make sense? Because I think over the years, I've realized that if you don't do an MOT, that's not a good thing. It's illegal, I think. You have to do MOTs these days. But if you get the MOT test result and you don't do the work on the car, that's not a good idea. Because in the end, it will go on for a little while longer, but in the end, it grinds to a halt and or packs up or just doesn't work properly. And so I think it's from time to time, it is good to do like an MOT of our soul. Is that all right? So that's what I want to encourage us to do this morning, like a spiritual health check. And then to just act on it. So I think as we come to break bread in a little while, God's going to speak to some of our hearts just about something we might want to do. He might want us to do or partner with us to do to make a change this year to be healthy spiritually. Is that all right? So that's where we're going. It's like and to do this, our sort of springboard for our spiritual health check is a passage in Luke 6. So you might want to turn to Luke chapter 6. It's a familiar passage on fruitfulness, believe it or not, having heard Lydia's word. And I want us to challenge us at the beginning of this year. I just believe Jesus' his heart for us is that we would bear good fruit, all of us. And I think the passage challenges us towards that. So, look, that's an MOT. That's what, in case you didn't know that, that's what happens if you don't do an MOT. And this is the scripture that I'd like you to read to us. Is that all right? It does, yeah. That's the clean car. The other one's full of green stuff off the trees. Anyway, let's read this together. No good. Isn't that a wonderful passage? Profound, isn't it? It's familiar, but it's profound. I just want to go through it this morning, verse by verse, really, and just reflect on it a little bit. Luke chapter 6, verse 43, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. I think the first point I want to make is that sort of undergirding this bit of teaching of Jesus is the assumption that Jesus wants us to be good trees, bearing good fruit, not bad trees bearing bad fruit. That's a simple point, but it's actually an important point as we look at these verses together. Because no matter what your background, how many mistakes you've made, whatever has happened to you in your life, whatever other people have done to you in your life, God's heart is for you to be a good tree, bearing good fruit. And that's a positive message for us at the beginning of this year. And if as you read that scripture, if you just in your soul somewhere are reflecting, saying, do you know what, I'm a bad tree. That was the first thought that you read, that you thought, I'm a bad tree. Do you know what? I want you to take these verses to heart, because this is a really good news message for you. Why? Because Jesus is a tree changer. He is somebody who loves us so much that he sent his son that we can be forgiven and transformed and made new and born again. So it is a good message for us. If we feel that we're a bad tree and there's bad fruit in our lives, this is a good news message. It isn't a condemnationary message. It's a good news message, because what Jesus is saying is, look, I came that you would be a good tree with good fruit. And that is my heart for you. And in the parable, Jesus is contrasting good and bad trees. It's a bit sort of binary, isn't it? Black or white. You're either a good tree or a bad tree. It sounds a little bit like that. And that's partly to make a point. He's making a point. Because he knows that there is good and bad in all of us. Because there is, isn't there? None of us are totally bad, and none of us are totally good. Apart from Hayley, she's verging on totally good. But you can tell I need to earn some brownie points. See? Bad fruit, good fruit. Anyway. So Jesus isn't sort of saying you're either one or the other. He's exaggerating. It's a picture. It's not literal. It's a picture of what he's saying. He's saying there's good trees and bad trees. I'm exhorting you to be a good tree. Bad trees bearing good fruit. Bad trees bearing bad fruit can become good trees bearing good fruit. That's the point underlying this. It's not just not a judging thing. It's actually an exhortatory thing, where Jesus is saying, look, I want you to be a good tree with good fruit. Do you get that? That's the underlying principle. So, and he is the master at turning bad trees into good trees, because he created all the trees. He is the one who is able to transform and do a work. So if you've got a feeling dried out, as Lydia was saying, if you're feeling full of bad stuff as you read this passage, this is a good news passage for you this morning. Because underlying it is an exhortation that Jesus wants us all to be good trees bearing good fruit. Do you get that? That's the first point that I wanted to make. Second verse, verse 44. Each tree is recognized by its fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. It's challenging, isn't it? I think in these verses there's a challenge for us to reflect on what fruit we see, individually, but also corporately. And I think at the beginning of the year, it's a good time to do that, isn't it? Think corporately, what fruit do we see as a church, Jubilee? What fruit do we see in our individual lives? That's the sort of thrust of the message this morning. I want to just start by thinking corporately, if you like. I think I do see good fruit in Jubilee. I know 2017 was a hard year in some ways. It's had challenges for us, I think particularly in Farnham here, to be honest. There's been a sense of loss in a lot of our hearts when the Aldershot folks went off to start our new site over in Aldershot. We miss them, don't we? They were a great bunch that went. But as I've gone over there, it's wonderful to see life and fruitfulness developing over there. But it has been hard. It's meant that people here have had to pick up more rotas, gone the extra mile and served more. There's been a personal sense of loss, I think, for some people, and I recognize that. I know that some of you have upped your giving and have been faithful in giving through this year. I know some of you business owners who've got a really kingdom vision where you're earning money to bring it into the kingdom. I know it's been hard years for businesses, but you've still given faithfully. And I just bless you for that. Because God blesses you for that. It's been a wonderful year where I've seen good fruit that has been coming forth. And I want to thank you, really, for the faithfulness and steadfastness in Farnham, particularly as we've gone into this multi-site vision, because I know there's been challenges in it. But do you know what? As I reflect on last year, we're going to do a bit more of this as we have our annual dinner together. Do you know, I see such good fruit in Jubilee. It blesses me. I see people being saved, added, baptized into the church. New site starting Aldershot, hundreds gathering to pray for the Love in Action events in Farnham. Tangible evidences of the kingdom of God advancing into our community, impacting our community through food bank and signpost cohesion. What a blessed time the school's work did in the run-up to Christmas. I see our young people's group growing. Blesses me. They're in the front rows every Sunday. God honours you guys. Blesses me to see our young people go off to university, those who have done, and to get stuck into churches full of courage, getting drunks off the street in the middle of the night, doing all sorts of stuff that is kingdom stuff, engaging with their culture. It blesses me just to hear the stories, to hear the feedback of how God is blessing them as they've gone from us and are in other situations. Others adventuring around the world, all sorts of things going on. I see good fruit in Jubilee. I see people set free, healed, marriages restored through this last year. This good fruit has developed amongst us. Some being inspired to learn the scriptures better, go on Bible study courses. Others going to theological colleges. Some in other countries even feeling inspired to do that. Others pursuing training in other ways, leadership training, all sorts of other things, training to be leaders in the marketplace for the kingdom. It's wonderful to see people's hearts and such good fruit developing. People going on parenting courses, so they can parent their kids better. I think there's one starting next week, isn't there? If you've not done a parenting course, I mean, if you're in your 60s, 70s, might be a little bit late, but you know, the rest of us, it's always good to be better equipped to be parents, isn't it? I think a lot of people have been asking, hey, how can we have a Q&A on parenting? We're going to do that through this year, but anyway, come back to that at another time. If you're interested in a parenting course, speak to Hayley.
Yeah, I have a last minute email saying there's about 5 or 6 places for a course that's starting on Monday tomorrow.
Jolly good. Bridget Berry over in Borden Church. She's run, hundreds and literally hundreds of kids, but this one's running in Farnham. So I just want to encourage us that good fruit is developing in Jubilee by God's grace and by His Holy Spirit. I love it that when I just hear little acts of service amongst us, little wonderful examples, little moments where people have cared for one another. I just hear little stories of people reaching out to others, encouraging each other, giving to others anonymous gifts just at the right moment. I just love it when I hear those stories because it's fruitfulness to me. It's fruit growing amongst us. I just see such selfless service in Jubilee, especially here in Farnham. It just, you know, just blesses me. You know, I'm amazed at the good-heartedness and the good fruit that there is here. I'm just so thankful to God for it. I see the persistent prayer of many. I see the great generosity, the big dollops of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, the fruit of the Spirit. I see amongst us in many ways. Not that we're perfect. We're not perfect, are we? But we do see good fruit amongst us. And by God's grace, I think that's going to continue through into 2018. I was at a meeting just before Christmas with a lot of the apostolic team of our movement, and one of them had a prophecy where they saw, or they felt from God for us at Jubilee that and saw us as a big oak tree, and with branches that were reaching out to protect others, and with all sorts of life in the branches. And I thought, isn't that a wonderful picture of what I want to see more and more of amongst us as a church? So come along, book up to the annual dinner. It's a wonderful time for those who haven't been before. It's a wonderful time to reflect on what we've done, what God's been doing amongst us, and a way of just mapping out what's going to be happening in the future. So please do book up so we can arrange for that. It's a really significant moment. If you're not a member, but you feel this is your home, come along, book up for it, because we'd love to see you there. Also, just a little encouragement. The elders are away Tuesday and Wednesday this week on a retreat, and I'd really love you to pray for us. We're really wanting to set our minds and hearts to what God's heart is 3-5 years out, so it's a sort of longer term, what has God got for us as a church? And we want to pray together and just be together, retreat, and I'd love you to pray for us if you could, Tuesday and Wednesday, that we really hear God together. If you've got any scriptures for us as we're meeting, then do send them on an email, and we do covet those encouragements for us as we're praying. But anyway, it's just a little there. But so corporately, I think I'm seeing fruit. We're going to say a bit more about that over in the weeks to come. But what I want to do today is really invite us to reflect on what fruit we see growing in our own lives. Is that all right? Just for a few moments. To see how we can tend for our souls in order to make them spiritually healthy and vibrant so that we're seeing growth in our lives. Is that all right? Growth isn't something that sort of happens to you. You know, it's something that we embrace. We get our roots deep in good soil. God provides the rain. But we sometimes need to tend for our souls, to be those who take care of our souls. And in these verses before us, Jesus is encouraging us to reflect on our stuff. If you read the verses just before this passage, it's all about the speck in, you know, don't look at the speck in somebody else's eye if you've got a log in your own light. There are times when it's good to reflect on where we're at. Not in a self-centered, self-obsessed, introspective, self-beating up way, condemnatory way, but in a way to take stock and make a sort of realistic judgment, a sober judgment, as it says elsewhere in Scripture, so that we can grow and be healthy. So it's not this is a long list of things that you should be doing that you're not doing, and you should feel bad about that sort of message, okay? This is, do you know what? God's heart is for us to grow and be healthy and vibrant. And there's things we can do to make that happen in a good way. Do you see what I mean? So it's not a condemnatory thing. It's a real encouragement from God where he's saying, I want life to be there. I want to be seeing growth. I want to see vibrancy. I want to see health. And that's his encouragement to us, that we can be good trees. And so really, we come to the key verse this morning that I'd love us to reflect on all this week. The good man or woman brings good things out of the good stored up in his or her heart. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his or her heart. This actually is a profound truth. This verse is really, really important. The fruit, the good things, comes from good stored up in our hearts. Pause for effect. Yes. That's the point. That is truth. Good things come from good stored up in our hearts. Good fruit takes time to develop, and it comes from storing good things in our hearts. Okay? It's important. Eugene Peterson's written a wonderful book. He's one of my heroes, called A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. I know some of you are readers. If you are, it's a fabulous book. A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. That's the Christian life, isn't it? That we obediently pursue things that we see fruit develop over the long time. Fruit doesn't develop instantly, does it? It takes time, and it takes time by storing good things in our hearts. It's an interesting word that Jesus uses for stored up in verse 45. It's the Greek word thesauro, which is where we get thesaurus from in our language. And it means a place where something's kept, but it's got within its meaning a sense of a treasure box or treasure chest. It's a storehouse, a storeroom, but it's a place where you store treasure. That's the sort of idea behind this word. It's an action word. It's a word where we do something. It's an activity where we place something that's really valuable, something we treasure, into our hearts, into our souls. That's the sort of idea that Jesus is communicating as he uses these words, stored up. So the question is, what treasure do you store up in your heart? And what treasure are you going to store up in 2018 into your heart? Because the more good stuff you store up in your heart, the more good fruit develops on a good tree. That's the point that we're making. And when Jesus uses the word heart, he's not meaning our sort of physical pump, as it were. The word cardia, the word, Greek word for heart, is in the Bible 800 times, but it never refers to the actual pump that we have in our chests. It's always seen, used metaphorically, figuratively, all through the Old Testament and through the New Testament. And when the Bible talks about our heart, it's talking about our inner life, our intention, our mind, our character, inner self, our will, our centre of our being, if you like. And when you look at the sort of Greek study Bibles and all that sort of stuff, you see that the word heart has got a rich meaning. I quote to some of the study guides that say that it refers to the affective centre of our being, the capacity of moral preference, volitional desire, choice, the desire producer that makes us tick, our desire decisions. These are the sort of ideas that are caught up in the word cardia that is used here for heart. It's really the engine within us, the inner part of us, that is what Jesus is referring to when he's talking about our heart. And our culture these days is so obsessed with the outward appearance, isn't it? You just look around, the pressure that people are on, especially young people, to look a particular way. The pressure even on physical health. I mean, I need to hear a bit more of that message probably. But it's all around the physical, isn't it? As opposed to the inner man and woman. But what Jesus is talking about here is our inner heart and inner intentions and what drives us. And Jesus is saying that fruitfulness is an overflow of the good deposited in our heart. So you have to deposit, there's an action in depositing something for the good fruit to develop. Does that make sense? It's not just, you just sort of sit there. You know, there is a sense in which we're involved in putting good things, storing up. And that fruit is an overflow of that in our lives. And the opposite is true as well. It says evil men bring evil things out of the evil stored up in their hearts. What we put into our hearts, into our inner being, into our souls is so important. It is so important in determining the quality of the fruit that we see in our lives. And we have a responsibility to look after what we put into our souls. If we deposit soul poisoning stuff, our fruitfulness diminishes. If we put in stuff that's good for our souls, we see good fruit developing. Does that make sense? It's quite a simple message, this, really. You see, bad fruit, if we see bad fruit in our lives, there is a cure for bad fruit that we see in our lives. The cure is we start storing up good things in our hearts. Do you see that? The cure of souls is a sort of classic phrase that you'll read in a lot of theological books, and it's something the church has been doing since it began, really. For centuries, priests received into their charge the souls of those who live within their parish. That was how it was sort of seen. And the responsibility was known as cures an animum, I think, something like that, which was Latin for cure of souls. This phrase of cure of souls was something that priests took on through centuries. And the parish priest was available at crucial times in life, not as a doctor or anything like that, but as someone to help a soul at particular times of birth, death, marriage, crisis, all that sort of stuff. And it's where we get the word curate from. A lot of Anglican churches will have curates, and it comes from that idea of curing a soul, of helping a soul become healed and become healthy and to become able to transition well through life. And I suppose this New Year's message, if you like, is an encouragement that we would be curators of our own souls through this year. That we would be take a responsibility to be our own priests and to be curators of our souls, those who care for our souls. And so how do you become a creator? How do we cultivate good fruit? How do we cultivate our souls? Well, in a sense, it's simple. We have to stop doing things that are bad for our souls and start doing things that are good for our souls. It's a real simple message, okay? And a way of doing that is to just do a spiritual health check, to identify things that we might need to stop doing. That's all we're doing, really. Unhealthy attitudes or inappropriate behavior or troubling addictions or negative relationships or self-limiting or self-sabotaging thoughts that we'll dwell on. We just got to stop doing some things. But it's also about identifying good things to start. Transformation and power in our lives is not just halted by doing wrong things, it's also affected by neglecting to do the right things. Do you see what I'm saying? So we stop doing some things and we start doing other things. That's what Jesus is really teaching us in these messages. And over the centuries, all sorts of spiritual disciplines, as they have been come to known, have been identified that just help the Christian cultivate good fruit in their souls. And you'll find all sorts of lists in different approaches, different ways of encouraging. But often there are a number that just always are on every list. Scripture reading the Bible. Is this a year where God's calling you just to read the Bible? Maybe you just haven't read the Bible. Maybe this is a year to start a reading plan of a Bible. Maybe there's so many available that are so good. Just talk to Anthony. He'll give you 25 different plans. He'll charge you for it, but that's very good. You can get the cheap ones. You get the free ones online as well, but you pay for what you get. Apart from the Alpha one, which is free and really good. But, on your phone, is that what God's challenging you today? As we're breaking bread, is he saying to you, I want you just to be in my word more this year? Is that what he's saying to you? I don't know. Maybe it's prayer. Prayer is our communion with our Heavenly Father. Maybe he's saying, do you know what? I just would love to meet with you more. I'd love you just to find a slot in the day. Maybe you recognize as you just do your spiritual, checkup. I used to pray in the mornings, but now I'm having to get up so early to go to work, or now my kids are getting me so up so early, or whatever it is. I need to find a different moment. Maybe that's what your action is this year that you can store up in your heart. Maybe it's starting a prayer diary. Maybe it's just starting with the Lord's Prayer. Maybe it's praying with some other people as well. Maybe that's something that is going to be storing up good things. Maybe it's worship. Maybe just switching from Radio 1 or Radio 2 or whatever you listen to some worship music. It could be just a little act this year that starts. Parents who've got kids, worship in the house is such an important thing. Play the songs that we play on a Sunday and then they can sing along. Hayley taught me once, when we had little ones and I was getting frustrated that they weren't singing, she said, you do realise they can't read yet, don't you? And which, good fruit and anyway. But if they're hearing it, and we're singing along at home, they can sing along in the church, can't they? Just little things. Let's have more worship at home. Maybe that's what God's challenging you to. In the car, make choices to do one thing rather than another thing. Solitude, another spiritual discipline. Hayley loves this one. Over the centuries, solitude has always been seen as a spiritual discipline. Now, you introverts really love that. But that might not be the one God's asking you to work on. It might be the one that all you extroverts are being called to work on. Do you just spend some time in solitude? Meeting your Heavenly Father? Going for a walk? Maybe that's what God's calling you to. You introverts, it might be around fellowship. It may be God's provoking you to be with other people. to encourage other people, to be encouraged by other people. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, "Let him who cannot be alone be aware of community, and let him who is not in community be aware of being alone. Each by itself has profound perils and pitfalls. The one who wants fellowship without solitude plunges into the void of words and feelings, and the one who seeks solitude without fellowship perishes in the abyss of vanity and self-infatuation and despair." That's a quote, isn't it? What's God saying, though? Do you need to spend some time on your own? Do you need to spend some time with other people? Stewardship, another one of the spiritual disciplines. We're starting a theme of money the next few weeks. Rick's going to introduce it next Sunday. How we use our money, so revealing, so powerful. How we handle our resources, our gifts, all these things. Maybe God's pointing you in that direction. Simplicity. It's connected with stewardship, isn't it? Simplicity is always on the list of spiritual disciplines. You know, we have so much stress by trying to keep up with the Joneses, whoever they are. Sometimes God might be calling us to a simpler life. That can be a profound spiritual growth area. Just getting rid of some of the stuff we have, some of the complexities that we build into our lives, sharing our faith, fasting, all these things are so important and ways that we can do a spiritual checklist. Does that make sense? I'm just throwing them out there as a prompt. But I've also got a little bit of homework for you if you want to do it. And Rick's going to pass it out. It's some sheets on the piano there. It's something that Trevor Partridge developed years ago when we used to live with him. And it's just a really helpful little way of taking stock of some of these spiritual disciplines. On one page, it's got a list of just questions that might provoke you, some scriptures. You might find it helpful to do this just at the beginning of the year. And then a little mechanism. Some people love this sort of thing. Some people hate this sort of thing. If you hate it, that's fine. But if it's helpful, it can just begin to provoke us. What can I actually do through this year? On the other side, there's a little page to just make a step, make some little step forward. If you like, it's a bit like the MOT test results, a tool that can identify areas that need some work. And so rather than just knowing that they need some work, the back page is there to actually get the work done, to make some steps. So the deal is, you can only take one of these. Listen to this, this is important. You can only take one of these out of the building, okay, if you don't use it against yourself. Okay, this isn't a tool to make you feel bad. This is a tool to encourage you to do something good. Is that a deal? So if you're going to use it against you and say, "I don't do any of these things, I want the sheet back in," all right? Because we've got to find another way to encourage you. But if you can use it as a tool to say, "Do you know what? I'm provoked by it to read the scriptures more, or to pray more, or to be in more fellowship, or to spend some time on my own," then that's great. Is that all right? Does that make sense? Is that a good deal? So if you don't like doing homework, you can forget it. If you're going to use it against you, you can forget it. But some of you might find it as a tool that can be really valuable. Final bit of our passage before we come to break bread is verse 45. "For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks." The Message translates this as, "Your true being brims over into true words and deeds." It's a wonderful little translation. You see, whatever good we store up in our hearts does come out. And whatever bad we store up in our hearts does come out in our words and in our actions. Sometimes it's tempting not to bother to do the repairs on your car when you get your MOT certificate. Some of them you have to do, but sometimes it's tempting just to leave it. But you know what? In the end, it becomes obvious. And your car just packs up, or starts running slowly, or starts misfiring. And then it becomes obvious that something needs to be done. And so this is an encouragement just to do something. It might be one little thing. It might be a list of big things. But in the same way we care for our cars, I want to encourage us to care for ourselves. And with the understanding that if we don't, you know what? It leaks out in our words and deeds if we don't do that. Is that all right? John Ortberg has written a wonderful book called Soul Keeping. Some of you, I know some of you are readers. So I've put a couple of books up. I'd highly recommend this book. He suggests that the soul is the most overlooked, underrated, and least understood part of our being in our culture. But the more you invest in it, care for it, the more life comes. And so at the beginning of this year seems a good time to take stock. How am I doing? How am I doing physically? Am I looking after myself physically or not? For me, that's obvious. I need to do something. Emotionally, do I have negative emotions knocking around in me? If so, what are they pointing to? Do I need to get some help? Rationally, you know, what's going on in my head as I start this new year? What self-limiting thoughts have I got? What self-sabotaging thoughts have I got? Do I need someone to help me? Volitionally, if I got some big decisions to make this year, how am I going to make those well? How am I going to get counsel on that? Relationally, are there relationships, you know, I need to get sorted? They're just not as healthy as they should be. Spiritually, how connected with God am I? Or do I just need to take stock? He is just keen to be in good fellowship with you. And so we're going to come to the Lord's Supper now and to break bread, but I want us to use it as an opportunity just to take stock before the Lord. Is that all right? Because his heart for us is to be fruitful and to be healthy and to live vibrant lives. It's not going to happen all in one go, but today can be a start, a little step that is going to do you good in the year to come. And isn't there an encouragement in Scripture to examine our hearts as we come to the table? Let me read for you 1 Corinthians 11. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And then verse 27 says, "So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat the bread and drink the cup." So there's an encouragement as we come to the bread and wine now to examine ourselves. Not that we get self-obsessed and self-centered, but that we can say, "God, what have you got to do in me that I can develop more good fruit?" Is that all right? The Message translates this: "Anyone who eats the bread and drinks the cup of the master irreverently is like part of the crowd that jeered and spat on him at his death." So if there's sin in our lives, this is the time to forget, to ask forgiveness and to move on from it. If there's things you've been doing that you know that displease God, before you come up, why not take an opportunity and say, "God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what I've done that's bad. I'm sorry for the way I've polluted this soul you've given me. I'm sorry for what I've been watching. I'm sorry for what I've been looking at." Whatever it is, this is a moment to say, "God, I'm sorry." And as soon as he knows your heart is sorry, he is for you and forgiving you and wanting to encourage you, wanting to help you, wanting to transform you. So we don't want to be like those in the crowd that jeered and spat on him, do we? So we come to him and ask, God, forgive me. And his forgiveness is abundant to pour out upon you. And as soon as he forgives you, do you know what? There's such freedom, such liberty, such life that comes. And then he says, examine your motives, test your heart, come to this meal in holy awe. I love that translation of Peterson. So we want to come to the table with a holy awe this morning. Is that all right? We're going to worship, so Catherine and the band, they've served us so well today. Pete Hewlett was leading worship today, and he turned up with such a high temperature that we sent him home.